Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Yes, ma'am. Good. Praises are good. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and riches. I think praise is one of the things. John chapter 3, if you'll turn there. John chapter 3. This is a great chapter in the Word of God. And if you know somebody that is not saved and they will read two books of the Bible, give them John and Romans. They're great, great chapters. They talk about the deity of Christ, John does, and then Paul really sets the stage for the truth of salvation by grace. Great, great books in the Bible. This is a familiar story. This is about Nicodemus, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's amazing how the Lord just changed the conversation right there. He just absolutely changed it to something very, very important. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Faith in Christ is not connected to knowledge. It's not connected to position. It's not connected to religion. It's just the submission of our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in his word, accepting him as our Savior, as the Bible teaches. And we'll see that as we get into the message. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man that hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is a story back in Numbers chapter 21. And obviously he knew that Nicodemus knew of that story because he was a master in Israel. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The name of Jesus is a precious, important name. Let's pray. Father, bless your word now. Help us to glorify you, and Father, may you be pleased with all that takes place. Help our hearts and our minds today to feel your presence and to love you and to think about you. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. What do you know for sure? I mean, what do you know for sure? And I'm not looking for answers. You just keep that to yourself, but just think about it. What do you know for sure? Do you know who's going to win in a sports match? You know, two football teams are playing. Do you know? There's all kinds of bets that are taken because nobody knows who's going to win. Politics, the weather, right? What do you know for sure? What's it going to be like tomorrow? I've got a bunch of things here. Economy, the economy. people, how people respond to things. There's some things you don't know for sure, but certainly there are things that you do know for sure, right? Like you have to die and pay taxes. Neither one of those is true, though. You don't have to pay taxes. You can choose not to pay taxes. Maybe not a smart thing to do. And one day the rapture is going to take place, so not everybody's going to die. So those statements are true. But the things that you do know for sure, think about them. Why do you know that? And that's an important thing that to look at too. And if your answer is, well, I saw it on the internet, wrong answer. Okay? That is not a good answer. Well, I read it on the internet, it's got to be true. It doesn't necessarily, matter of fact, if you read it on the internet, it's probably not true. But what do you know for sure, and why do you know that? When we come into the spiritual aspect of this, the scriptural part, James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To knoweth to do good. The Bible tells us what's good and what's bad, right? What's right, what's wrong? What's light and what's darkness? So we have the spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. There's a lot made of situation ethics. You've probably heard of it. The definition is the doctrine of flexibility in the application of moral laws according to circumstances. Certainly that applies sometimes, but biblically you've got to be very, very careful about that. You can't just say, well, these are the circumstances, so I'll do this, or this will benefit me, and so this is my decision. You have to be careful about situation ethics, but a lot of times people live by that code. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes we don't even know our own hearts. So the psalmist went on, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and you lead me. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. It says, who can know it? The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't know. So all of a sudden, here's a snare, here's a trap, and they didn't know it was coming. So there are things that we know and things that we don't know. If the source of your information is wrong, you are being deceived. Your source has to be right, you know. The truth is the truth. I worked for a used car dealer long, long time ago. And we made the cars. I wasn't saved. We didn't make them, but we made the cars better. Actually, we didn't make them better. We just hid the problems. And we found out how to turn the speedometers back. And what you do is you jack the back of the car up and you put it in reverse. You put something to hold the gas pedal down so it would go fast. And then the speedometer would just go backwards. That's a joke. Some don't take that serious. But, I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know, and people are deceived. If the perception of your information is wrong, you perceive something to be good when it is bad, or perceive it to be bad when it is good, then you get prejudiced towards something. Politics does that. All kinds of things does that. If the reception of your information is wrong, if you reject the truth, that also creates a problem because you don't want to hear the truth. So it's all about information. If it's garbage in, it's garbage out, right? But if you hear the truth and receive the truth, then it produces something in your life. And then you know something for sure because of these things that we'll look at today. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there you have your deception. Acts chapter 28, the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked. He ends up on a certain island, and the people are very nice to him and the people that made it ashore. And so Paul is gathering sticks to put on a fire, and as he's doing that, he gets bitten by a serpent. And so these superstitious people said, oh, he must be a devil. He must be a murderer. And they had that idea of him. But then after a while, when Paul didn't fall over and die, as he just shook the serpent off, they said, he is a god. But it says in Acts 28, they changed their minds. Why did they change their mind? They saw something, they made a judgment, they saw something else, and it reversed the judgment. And so we all do that, and we prejudice ourselves. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, Stephen is bringing one of the greatest messages, greatest sermons in the Bible. And he gets to the close of it. It's pretty rough and pretty pointed. But it says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. They did not want to hear it, so they stopped their ears. It says that they took him out and they stoned Stephen because they did not want to receive the truth. A number of verses on this. 2 Timothy 4:4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and they shall be turned to fables. And so there you have the rejection of what is true. Information is good if it's true information. Amen? And that's what we want. We want the truth. The Bible says in the Old Testament that it's prophesied, truth has fallen in the streets. And we see that in this day and age. Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's nothing to build on. The foundations are truth. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We don't understand the things that God says sometimes. We don't understand why it's this way, but we trust him. Amen? Because his ways are past finding out. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So we trust God. All things work together for good. Amen? Do we trust God? And sometimes we trust God when the circumstances are good or when they make sense to us. But when they don't make sense or it's not to our benefit, sometimes situation ethics kind of finds its way in there and we do something that is opposed to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So you have the truth, you trust in the truth, and you try the truth. And the truth is found to be truth. And then you believe it. In our written devotional online today, I used one verse, Psalm 56:9. It says, this I know, for God is for me. And then you run the scriptures. Well, if God be for me, who can be against me? And God is on our side, and he's our strength. He's our high tower. He's our shield. And we run into him, and we're safe. And because you know God is for you, that is a truth in the Bible. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what it looks like, no matter what somebody is telling you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. These are just truths. The greatest love, the greatest wisdom, the greatest power in this world is God's. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's everywhere. Amen? So wouldn't it make sense to know about God? Because he is the truth. That's the greatest knowledge in life that anybody could have, knowing God. J.I. Packer wrote, a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him. We can gather all these facts about the Bible, but just to know God and to know it's true. In John chapter 14, you're probably familiar with the verses. Jesus said there, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I go to prepare a place for you, and all those great verses. But Philip is there, and Jesus made this statement to Philip in verse 9. He says, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Think of what Philip had seen. Think of what he had heard. He was with the Lord. He saw all these miracles, but there were different things he did not understand about Jesus. Have I been with you such a long time, and yet you have not known me? So what do you know for sure? Isn't that a good question? And a lot of times we search our own hearts. We you know, want to know that we have a strong faith. We want to know that we're believing in the right thing, that we're living the life that God would have us to live. So what do we know spiritually? Jesus said when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them. Why? They know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. Paul said in Corinthians, he kind of expounded that a little bit, but he said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, they wouldn't have done it. Amen? And sometimes we grow as believers, and we grow as believers by desiring the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So we learn more of the word. It becomes truth to us. It becomes our life. This is the way, walk ye in it. And so we live the Bible. Amen? And then we have a confidence. Our confidence, our faith, our trust in God grows. And we're able to do great and mighty things for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, just to read this verse, I'll get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what Paul said. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We are strengthened with his might in the inward man, in the inner man. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And here we are in life. What's practical? Well, I got a job and I need to know how to do my job. That's a no-brainer, right? Because if you don't know how to do your job after 3 years on the job, you're probably not going to keep it the fourth year. And the time element may shorten some there. But we live in life, oh yeah, I've tried that before, it didn't work, so I know it's not going to work again. I mean, all kinds of things. We go to school, we learn, what do we learn? Not a whole lot. So anyway, we go to school and we learn some things. And we're constantly learning, are we not? And our times are changing, so we've got to learn a new computer program or whatever we learn. Even learn how to operate a cell phone. Man, that is tough. Thank the Lord for grandchildren. Amen? They show you how to do it. But that there are things in this life, and you can be worldly wise. I mean, you can know how to operate a business. You can be expert at this, expert at that. You have had experience in life. I know it works. I'm a philosopher, a psychiatrist. You have all these things and facts in your mind. But spiritually, God wants us to know something. Amen? He wants us to know him. And it doesn't just stop with him. And so Paul is saying here that we look at eternal things. We look at spiritual things, not just temporal things. Because that knowledge is the knowledge of the holy. That knowledge is what changes our life and changes our eternity. What do you know for sure? Nicodemus had a very limited knowledge of an unlimited God. A limited knowledge. And it's amazing how when you grow as a Christian, you begin to learn things about God and learn things about his word. In John chapter 4, same thing. That's John chapter 3 we read. John chapter 4, it was the woman at the well, and Jesus is speaking to her. And Jesus said this to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee a drink of living water. If thou knewest, thou wouldest. Right? And that goes along with the other verse that we're talking about. Had they known, they would not. If you knew, you would. If you had known, you would not. And what does that have to do with? It has to do with our knowledge of who Jesus is. If I knew who Jesus was and that was real in my life, there's things I would do and there's things I wouldn't do. A perfect song for the ladies. Worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy. Amen? He's worthy of everything. And when we really know that, when that is in us, when that is something that is real to us, that's how we'll live our life. Spiritually, what do we know for sure? Well, I got three things, and they're very, very basic, and we'll just see where the Lord takes us. But the first thing is, You need to know that there is a God. Now, the true God, not any God. There's a lot of people that believe in God. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. They believe there's a God. The Christian believes and rejoices. But everybody believes there's a God. I mean, in Acts chapter 17, they made altars to all these gods. So everybody believes just about in a God. There are agnostics, there are atheists, but most people believe in a God. But there is the true God. That's Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3 and verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? You're a master. You know that Old Testament. You're a religious leader, and yet you don't know what I'm speaking to you. And he spoke to him about being born again. In Matthew chapter 11, by the time we're in chapter 11, the nation has rejected John the Baptist and his message. They have rejected the miracles of Jesus, and so the statement is made, wisdom is justified of her children, worldly wisdom, spiritual wisdom. So these were the things that guided their lives and their thoughts. And so in Matthew 11:25, at that time, after all of these rejections, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Hid what things? The things about God, the truth about Jesus Christ. He has hid them from the wise and prudent. So just having a great mind and having all kinds of wisdom doesn't help us know God. And he says, but he's revealed them unto babes. All we have to do is become as little children. Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. They knew the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. So they had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. So do you know God? The real God, the true God. The one who created everything and sent his son to die for us. Number two, that Jesus is the Son of God, our Savior. That's an important thing to know, is it not? Because when you know that, except a man be born again, he cannot see. You don't see it if you're not born again. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. That's the answer. That's what Jesus was telling them. Search the scriptures. And so we do that. Amen? We're constantly, I mean, when you come to church, you're thinking of Bible. When you're having your devotions, oh, I wonder what this is. And you're searching, you're learning, you're allowing that word to work in your heart. Luke 20:21. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Thou teachest the way of God truly. Teach. This is what Nicodemus said in verse 2 of chapter 3. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. What they knew and what Nicodemus knew was far short of what God wanted them to know. It's more than teaching. You know, if you go through the Bible, you find preaching. Not just teaching. And sometimes you mix those elements. In the last days, they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Nothing wrong with teaching because it's in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. A pastor's supposed to teach, but he's supposed to preach. Preaching is supposed to reach the heart. Preaching is supposed to be anointed by the Spirit of God, as teaching is. But teaching is more factual. Do you understand what I'm saying? Preaching is to the heart. Preaching is to draw some conclusion. Preaching is to make a challenge so we can see what God is saying and then make a decision one way or the other. Do I believe that? Should I incorporate that in my life? Should I walk this way, walk this way? And that's what preaching does. Amen? It's a good thing. They knew what they knew was far short of what God wanted them to know. He's more than a teacher. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may Believe on the name of the Son of God. That's why we call it a know-so salvation. You may know that you have eternal life. That's a great verse, 1 John chapter 5. We ought to know, sitting here today, whether we're saved or lost, whether we're a Christian or a non-Christian, whether we're a believer or an unbeliever. We all ought to know that. It shouldn't be, well, I don't know, maybe, and I hope so, you know, and maybe I'll be surprised. You don't want to be surprised. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that you're saved, that you have eternal life. Important verse. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day, eternal security. I know I'm saved. I know I can never lose it. And there's a host of verses on that. And that's important. Well, you know, I did this, and I lied about this, and I said this, and I guess I lost it. You can't lose it. You're born again. You may be chastened. That's Hebrews chapter 12, because we're children, right? And what parent wouldn't chasten their child if they're doing the wrong thing? Amen? But that's another message. These are just things that we ought to know. As Christians, we ought to know them. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We understand creation as just God spoke it into existence. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you read your Bible, your faith is going to grow. We know that, don't we? So if we have weak faith, we need to read our Bibles. That'll help us. That'll be a real blessing. You must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Number three, this is important. What do you know for sure? Well, I know there's a God. I know Jesus is the Savior. And how do you know that? The Bible. The only way you know that is the Bible. Well, no, somebody told me. Yeah, but what is true? You have to know that it's in the Bible. In one of his writings, Ambrose wrote this. As in paradise, God walks in the Holy Scriptures seeking man. He walks in the Holy Scriptures seeking man. Think of the garden. And God came down in the cool of the day. Adam, where art thou? You know, God's always seeking us with this book. Always. And we need not hide from him. And we need not be away from him. We need to just hear his word. I think that's a great, great statement. Antony wrote, be astounded that God should have written to us. He gave us a book. Isn't that amazing? And there are some people that believe, well, it's just a book. It's a religious book, and there are mistakes in it. There's no mistakes in the Bible. Amen? And we'll see that from his word. These things have I written unto you. John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. These are written that you might believe. So that's where our faith comes from. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you have to believe the Bible's the word of God. Amen? It sounds so basic. But when we know this to be true and we read anywhere in the Bible, we say, that's God's word. I don't understand it. I don't know how it could be. I don't even agree with it in my own carnal mind. But it's true according to the word of God. It's not situation ethics. Our world is constantly changing. And it's changing not for the better. I mean, you see as it was in the days of Noah. You see as it was in the days of Lot. And without going into all of that, it's there. We see it everywhere. Amen? But the truth is in the Bible. And this is precious in this day. In these last days, this is a precious, precious book. Somebody said bad men wouldn't have written the Bible. Good men couldn't have written the Bible. God wrote the Bible. Bad men wouldn't have said, thou shalt not steal. Right? good men couldn't have written the Bible because they say all the way through it, it's the word of God. God said, God said, God said. God had to write the Bible. It's God's word. And he used men as human instruments because that's how he did it. Well, I don't see how he could do it. That's what he said. Amen? They were inspired. 2 Peter 1:21, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. He will keep them from this generation forever. Oh, so many verses. Proverbs 35, every word of God is pure. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Joseph Cook wrote this, do you know a book that you're willing to put under your head for a pillow when you're dying? Very well, that is the book you want to study when you're living, for there's only one such book in the world. When we get ready to die, are there deer behind me or turkeys behind? Okay, let's start from the very beginning. Are they gone? Now they're over there. Okay. I love windows sometimes. All right. Well, at least that answers my question. I was ready to close the Bible and go home. Amen. There's only one book in the Bible, in the world, that can give you peace when it comes your time to die. Only one book. And it's the Bible. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. How can that be? I don't know. You know? I have no idea. In his presence is fullness of joy. How can that be? I don't know. You know? We shall know even as we're known. We'll be like him. The verses are endless. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. There's a zillion verses. How can that be? I don't know. I can't explain it, but I'll tell you I believe it. And when it comes my time, those truths are going to be very, very important. What a blessing. James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. If you receive it with meekness as a little child. Gill writes this, when it is received, when it is put into the heart by the Spirit of God and mixed with faith in those that hear it, there is profit. There is something now in us that was not there before. And that experience happens at our salvation, but it happens over and over and over as we read the Bible because we receive it as it is the truth of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There's the truth. Here it is. Here's the word, but it doesn't profit. Why? It's not mixed with faith. We have to believe it for it to profit. Amen? It is impossible for God to lie. So if we know thy word is truth, John 17, 17, and it's impossible for him to lie, we know this is true. And when we receive this as the truth, then it works in us. Amen? Relationships, work relationships, family relationships, husband and wife relationships. The Bible instructs the wife. The Bible instructs the husband. The Bible instructs the children. The Bible instructs your boss. Your boss and instructs him and instructs us too. Boy, I'm trying to get my way here. But it tells us, it tells you how to be a good neighbor. It tells you what to do with an enemy. Amen? Well, I'm not sure. I don't think they knew what they were writing back then. And, you know, I think the world has changed so much and, you know, I don't think we need to follow that. Now, that might be Old Testament, but let's come to what's for us today. The Old Testament was written for our learning and for our admonition. There's stories and there's truths there. And we come to the New Testament and we see these church epistles. And I think we're going to teach on church history when we start Sunday school. Bible church history, not secular church history. And we come to these church epistles and it tells us exactly what God would have us to do that we might be blessed. And that is a blessing. We just follow that. A.W. Tozer said, God did not write a book and send it by a messenger to be read at a distance by unaided minds. He spoke a book and lives in his spoken words. Constantly speaking his words and causing the power of them to persist across the years. Every time we open this book, every time we call to mind a verse that we've memorized, it is God speaking to us. Is that not amazing? I mean, that is so amazing. If we could and we put on our sign that Jesus would be here speaking for us next Sunday. I mean, and if it was real, or the Apostle Paul, or, I mean, any of that. This place should be overflowing, right? But he does. He speaks every Sunday. You say, well, you're not a very good preacher. I'm not going to argue with that. But it's still the Word of God. Amen? And it doesn't matter what the instrument is, it's still the Word of God. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that amazing? And here's the preacher. What does a preacher do? He preaches the Word of God. That's what he's told to do. Where do I get my messages? Reader's Digest. No, a pastor gets his message from God. Sure, he takes things from here and from there, but this is what God wants him to preach. So you come to church. I've heard it a lot of times. That's exactly what we were talking about. That's just what I needed. You know, God can meet every need in a sermon. Maybe not the whole thing, but somewhere in that message, the flag's going to go up, you know. This is it. This is exactly what I need. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Mixed with faith, received with meekness, it always produces something. What do you know for sure? There's a God, true God. Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible is the Word of God. 1 John 5:20. And we know the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. John Powell made a statement, and this is the statement of this message. Once you and I are face to face with the Word of God, we can only accept it or reject it. Jesus becomes the two-edged sword that cuts right down the middle, dividing us into believers and non-believers. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Receive the word with meekness. Receive the engrafted word with meekness, which is able to save your souls. It's all we have to do. And when we take this word, as it is the truth, and our hearts receive it, then the fruit is produced. Amen? But if the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, choke the word, we go home, sometimes worse than when we came in, or at least the same. When it falls, when we're not listening to it, when we're watching deer, there's nothing you can do about that. We had the Troyers who were here last week, we were reminiscing about some things that happened in Sturgis, and one time I was preaching, and we had this fan-shaped auditorium, and I'm up, and I'm speaking already, and Eugene was my usher, and he's sitting in the back, like kind of like Bob does, and in this door, there was doors on both sides, but on this door, in walks a clown, all painted up, I mean, clown, you know, And Eugene was, he was sitting back there, and he went, and I mean his eyes, we were laughing about that. His eyes got that big. And so I thought, well, I have to say something, because if I let people learn or see one at a time, there's going to be snickering and all that. So I said, oh, it's good to have a clown with us today. And then everybody turned and looked at the clown, you know, and we got that out of the way, and then we went back to the Bible. Listen to this. The Bible is God's word. This is the written word. It says the same thing as the living word would say. Jesus and the Bible. They say the same thing. Amen? No error. Truth. And this book, God wants us to know it. He wants to speak to us. But if we don't hear it, then we can't obey it. If we hear it, but all these other things come in, well, no, this, I'd have to do this and this and this. But when we receive it, it's so, so powerful. J.I. Packer said, one of the many divine qualities of the Bible is this, that it does not yield its secrets to the irreverent and censorious. If someone doesn't want it, there's no opening. You have to want it. You have to desire it. Other books were given for our information. The Bible was given for our transformation. Go home with not more knowledge today of where the verse is at or whatever. Go home with the knowledge of who wrote it and what God's doing in your heart. Amen? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do, he's precious. Amen? He's precious. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word today. What do we know for sure? We know that you're the true God, that Jesus is our Savior, and the Bible is your word. And we humbly receive it today. And may every heart just desire you, how you would transform all of us. I pray again, Lord, that your word would be precious and that you would meet every spiritual need here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Bow our heads.